But anyways, that's fine. Okay, let me just share just a few announcements for today. I really appreciate everyone who's come. For those who are visiting with us, it's always great to see some new faces. And so make sure that you don't leave after the service. Come downstairs and we have a whole spread for you, a whole time of fellowship and some food and refreshments and a time opportunity for you to get to know some of our Mishpacha, our family. So hopefully you can come down. And everyone, though John and I have to leave, you know, we won't be able to stay for much of this one because we're off to a wedding. Dave and Valerie Price's son is getting married, and so we're going to be going out there, way out in Airdrie, you know, an hour away from here. So all those who drive from a distance, I can appreciate everyone who makes the effort to come here. So keep that in prayer. It'll be a good ceremony this afternoon. And then also just tomorrow we have a special time together for volunteers, you know, for all the those who have volunteered their time and their effort in Beshikina. There's actually many, at least half of our congregation, 45 to 50 people plus, are serve faithfully in Beshikina. I really, really appreciate everyone. So there is a picnic planned tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., you know, for all those who have served and faithfully, and Rowena and Jerry are putting this together. And so we hope that many of you will be able to come. And we have his little certificates for everybody. And also we just ask you to bring something special for that picnic tomorrow. Amen. Also, next Shabbat we'll be having the Shekinah at the Night of the Lord's Table. So come with prepared hearts for that. And then next Friday evening, we're always busy eating. I know what's. Next Friday evening, we have an Erev Shabbat dinner. And we do this every second month, 6:30 next Friday evening. So everyone is invited to come and be a part of that special time. It's good for us to gather together and really experience a Shabbat meal together as a congregation. And I really encourage you to invite you to come. We're going to be showing a really amazing little video about Israel called I Am Israel. And it's really quite a powerful video. It's only about half an hour, so we'll be doing that as well next Friday evening. This coming Wednesday, we begin our series of Bible studies once again. We'll see how it goes, but we are meeting a quarter to seven, and we're going to continue on with a series that we began by First Century Foundations. On this week is going to be Victory Over Sin and Death, and we learn about the greatest hero that Israel's ever had. And who do you might think that might be? Well, come. If you're not sure, come and you'll see and hear who this great hero is. And also, we're going to begin in the fall. We're going to begin the first fruits Hayasod, and so we'll have a sign up sheet, you know, next week for you to sign up if you're interested in being a part of that. We had a really good turnout for our last one, Hayasod Foundation, and there was about 25, 30 people. So we're going to be doing another one on the feast, God's appointed feast. So I think that you really find that quite encouraging. I know there's lots of announcements here. Next Saturday, we're going to also be having a baby shower for everyone as part of that. So for all the newborns in the congregation, you know, so there's going to be three that will be honoring and celebrating. And so next Saturday, during the Oneg, you know, we're going to be having time. So if you want to bring a special gift for one of these little ones, I'm sure they would really appreciate that. And did I miss anything? Well, there's also just one last item. When I was taking my sabbatical from speaking, I had a project. One of my projects was to put together a Israel Scripture Prayer Guide. And handed this out on Thursday evening for our citywide prayer, and so most of them were taken. So I'm going to have more of them made up for this coming week. So it's really a good booklet. It's 22 pages. There's a lot in it regarding why it's so important to pray. Why do we pray for Israel? We've included the Amidah prayer in there, plus a number of prayer points, you know, for you to pray, just to give you some direction and to guide you through, you know, your times of prayer. And also lots of times people are not quite sure how to pray for Israel. So I put together this booklet that I think will give you some direction for that. So I'll have those available next week. All right. Okay. Well, there we go. Wow. That's a beautiful looking tree, isn't it? And we're all branches on the tree. And we're all connected together. Amen? Well, let me just kind of begin with prayer. Father, thank you, God, for this time that we can gather together to really celebrate your presence as we come together. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we pray, Lord, as we look into your word today, Lord, just give us enlightenment, enlighten our eyes, the spiritual eyes of our understanding. And God, give us understanding of what you want to speak to us about today and how it will resonate in each one of our hearts. Lord, we know that your word promises that it will not return void without accomplishing its purpose. So we pray that you accomplish your purpose in each one of us today, Lord, because we know your word speaks to every one of us in a different way. And so we pray, God, for your word to really go forth today in your anointing, in your presence and power in Yeshua's name. Amen. You know, last week I began a series of messages on the six traits or qualities of a disciple of Yeshua. And I shared that as believers, we have fallen short in obeying the Great Commission, the Yeshua command. If we just turn to the next slide, there's the next slide there. Sigong. Go and make disciples. Making in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and the next slide, I want to just kind of repeat the scripture that I shared last week because it really is the foundation for what I'm speaking on. I'm doing a series of messages on this. But Yeshua spoke to his disciples and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we've been commanded to go forth in the authority and in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, and to share this good news and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Yeshua has commanded us to do a lot of things. And in Mark 16, verse 15 through 18 is another declaration of what the Great Commission is. Yeshua spoke about the power of the gospel. There's power in the gospel. He said, "Go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and is immersed will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. And if they drink anything, any deadly poison, it will not harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." It doesn't mean that they will recover right at that very moment, but they will recover by faith as we stand upon God's word and his promise. People, we will be healed. And God, that's God's promise to us. And Acts 1, verse 8, Yeshua gave this, before he ascended, he gave this to his disciples. "Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father." And he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, upon you, I'm sorry. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth." And then, of course, as a Messianic congregation, our signature scripture is Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the non-Jew." And so there's power, wonder-working power in the gospel. And that's in another message I'm going to speak about. Why is the gospel so powerful? You know, the word of God, the gospel is not just word only. But Yeshua demonstrated his words with power, with signs and wonders that followed. And I believe that God wants us to come to that place in our lives where we can walk in the authority and in the name of Yeshua. And we can see those signs and wonders taking place as we proclaim the good word of the gospel. And the Great Commission is one of the most important commands that Yeshua gave to his followers before he ascended the Father. And so we were commanded not only to introduce people to the Messiah, which is our greatest challenge, and which is the greatest honor to be able to bring someone to the knowledge of the Messiah, but that's not all that we do. Our salvation, the salvation is only a part of it. It's only the first step. We have a responsibility to become a disciple of Yeshua and to train and equip others to become one also. And that's why this scripture, 2 Timothy 2:1-2, which I spoke on last week, and "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Messiah Yeshua. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be mature. So we will be able to know how to share this good news with others. And last week I spoke on the first trait or quality of being a disciple from John 13, 34 and 35. This is to me really the most important quality of all. Yeshua said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So there's something about love that sets us apart from anyone else in the world. Of course, there are people today who walk in love, but there's a different kind of love that comes from a believer because we have the Spirit of God in us. And we know that. I want to talk a little bit more about the love of God, because we can never talk enough about God's love, because it's all through the Scriptures from beginning to end. And you know what? Paul gave the greatest... Before I share that, you know, I shared also last week, Yeshua was tested by one of the scribes to ask him, what is the greatest commandment in the Scripture? And Yeshua says, you know, as I say every Shabbat, we say this every Shabbat, we have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. We shall love our neighbor as ourselves. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. So all of God's word, all the Torah, the prophets, all hang upon that one word, is love. You know, and Paul gave the greatest definition of love, I believe, that's ever been recorded in 1 Corinthians 13. And we've read this many times, and this is something that I believe is so important, that love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And that's God's promise. His love will never fail. And this should be our code of conduct, our behavior, in how we treat one another, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Why is that? Because if we love one another, even as Yeshua loved us, all the world will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. And so that's really the first challenge to us, is to love one another. This is the most important quality of being a follower of Yeshua. You know, First Yochanan is a love letter to believers. And I wanted to share a few scriptures from First Yochanan before I get into my second quality of a disciple. But I really want to emphasize the importance of love, because it's so important. 1 John 4, 7-9 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." As Ellie shared earlier, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. His love dwells within us. So we're supposed to manifest his love, that our lives are to be a fragrant aroma to others. And in 1 Yochanan, in 3:16-18, he makes it love more practical and more down to earth. He said, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. For whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, and yet turns his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in us?" "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." We will be rewarded at the judgment seat of the Messiah based upon whether we really demonstrated God's love to others, and we really walked in the truth, and we've demonstrated God's love. And then finally, in 1 John 3:23 and 24, he said, "This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of Yeshua, the Son of His Son Yeshua HaMashiach, and we love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments remains in him, and he in him, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. And which brings me to the second quality that I want to speak on today is John 15, 7 and 8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, my Talmudim. Now, this is quite a promise. Yeshua began by saying, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, we can ask whatever we want. It'll be given to us. Of course, we know there are conditions to that. We need to be ensured that we're praying according to God's will, that we're being obedient to his commandments, and then God promises that he will give us our heart's desire. You know, the word remain comes from the Greek word mena, M-E-N-A, which means to abide or maintain continual contact. Stay continually connected, stay continually connected. As a branch is connected to the vine, we need to stay continually connected to the vine. In this chapter, John 15, the word remain is repeated 11 times in this one chapter. And with so many times that it's been repeated, it is obviously intended to emphasize something very important about a relationship with God and about a relationship with one another. And the importance of what does it mean to abide in him? What does it mean to remain in him? Yeshua said, as long as we remain in him and maintain an ongoing relationship with him, we will bear fruit. And prove ourselves that we are his disciples. And it's all for the Father's glory. We all do this not for our glory, but for the Father's glory. You know, the word if is a very small word, two-letter word, but it has tremendous potential. And it's actually amazing. There are four different forms in Greek for saying if. But in this context, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, it communicates something about choices that we make in this life. And we know that our entire life is based on choices. We can make good choices or we can make wrong choices. We all have made both. We've all made good choices. We've all made wrong choices. But as believers, our choice to remain and abide in him will determine our actions or lack thereof. And so we can make choices every day. If we believe in him, will we choose to be led by the Spirit? Will I read the Word of God and pray? Will I share my faith today? Yeshua said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Each one of us have a choice of how we will respond every day. We make choices. God brings opportunities in our life. And it's our choice as to whether we're going to respond to those opportunities that God brings into our life. What did Adonai tell Israel in Deuteronomy 28? I think there's one for Deuteronomy 28. He began with the words, if. That's a pretty strong word, if. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come upon you and follow you if you obey the Lord your God. So did Israel fully obey and carefully follow God's commandments? God promised that if they fully obeyed all these commandments, that all these blessings will come upon them and they will follow them wherever they went. Wherever they go, God's blessing will be upon them. But sadly, though they chose not to obey, and of course the rest is history. Israel stumbled even over the Messiah, and yet that was all part of God's plan. So the choice is ours every day. If we remain in him and his words remain in us, we'll be blessed and we will bear fruit. You know, too many believers think that when we become a believer, we just simply turn on autopilot. And we coast through our spiritual journey. But of course, this is being very naive and it's looking through rose-colored glasses, because I'm sure we all know that's not the case at all. When we became a believer, sometimes things can get even more difficult when you become a believer, because it's a narrow path that we walk. And we know that sometimes those choices that we make can really create some difficulties in our life. And so our spiritual life may be, have begun in a supernatural way, which it did when we came to faith, but spiritual growth and maturity is a daily process of dying to ourself, of denying ourself. And that's something that a lot of us don't like to do. But, you know, it says that line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Our process of growth is you know, it's long and it's difficult. And we all face sufferings and struggles and disappointments. But this is all part of the process. And those things are necessary in our life. We need to experience disappointments and suffering and struggles in our life, because it teaches us character. It teaches us perseverance. It teaches us how to trust in God as we walk through this life. It's all part of our spiritual journey. You know, this is one of the messages that I want to speak on as part of this series, because a true disciple is willing to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow our Master. And that's really an important part of being a disciple. We'll be talking about that. You know, as we get close to Yom Kippur, that's a perfect time to talk about denying ourselves, because we'll be fasting and we'll be praying and humbling ourselves during the fall season. But in John 8:31, Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in him, those who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And once again, Yeshua uses the word "if." If you abide my word, then you are truly my disciples, and the truth will set you free. Yeshua taught most of his teachings from the Torah and the prophets and the writings. Now, even though there was much new revelation he shared in the Gospels, but many uninformed believers believe that a disciple is committed to Yeshua's teaching as found in the New Covenant. Many think, well, we live in a New Testament Christianity, and we don't really need the Old Covenant. However, we know the New Covenant was not even written at the time of Yeshua. It's believed to have been written about 50 to 100 years after Yeshua, and it's believed that 1 Thessalonians was the first book that was written. But as a Messianic congregation, we are committed to the whole Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation. Because there's lots of valuable truths, you know, even in terms of how Israel serves as an example for us of what to do and what not to do as the people of God. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Paul was speaking, the New Covenant was not even written at that time. So Paul was speaking about the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. All Scripture is inspired by God. And then Paul reminded Timothy, one of his disciples, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. And so our commitment to the Word of God is really the second most important part of being a disciple. Are we committed to the Word of God? That's foundational to our faith. This book is, you know, as we've heard before, you know, it serves as an acronym, Bible, Believer's Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, this is our manual for life, and that's, we need to stand upon what God promises in His Word, because everything that we need to know about life is found in this Word, if we abide in this Word and we obey it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the next one, that we're to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To be diligent means to make every effort to understand the scriptures well enough so that when you are confronted by someone who denies the authority of God's word, you will be able to respond to them and know how to respond. As a disciple, we need to be committed to the word of God by reading our Bibles daily. We need to be the word every day, without exception. Just as we eat every day, our physical food, we need our spiritual foods to feed our soul. We need to be studying the Bible, and we need to be meditating upon it and memorizing God's word, so that we can get God's word deep into our hearts. Psalms 119, 9 through 12 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." How can we keep our hearts pure? By keeping according to his word. His word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Many times when we are involved in situations, if we know the word of God, we memorize the word of God, sometimes we won't have our Bible with us, and we find ourselves in a situation where we're sharing our faith. And if we know the word of God, God, the Spirit of God will bring a scripture to our remembrance so that we can speak that word into that person's life. That's why it's so important that we know God's word, because God's word will not return void without accomplishing its purpose. Jeremiah said that thy words are found and I ate them, and they became for me the joy and the delight of my heart. We need to eat God's word so that it becomes part of us. We need to study God's word so that we will be able to teach and apply it in our own lives and the lives of others. And then secondly, we need to fight for the word of God. We need to fight for the word of God because we know the word of God is under tremendous attack today. And we're involved in a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness are becoming more and more intense in these last days. We see lawlessness increasing everywhere. We see so many birth pangs. All that's happening today, these are birth pangs. You know, all the lawlessness, even all the natural disasters, the weather patterns, all the heat. They're trying to say it's all climate change. But this is all birth pangs. Yeshua warned us that these things would happen in the last days. You know, the word of God is an essential part of our spiritual armor. He said, "Is my word not like a hammer that smashes the rock into pieces?" Hebrews 4:12 is one that we all are familiar with. So that, we'll just go back to that last one here before. The Bible is the only book whose author is always present when we read it. Isn't that amazing, hey? God's always present. His Spirit is always there instructing us and teaching us. And he never leaves. He's always there present when we are in his presence reading his word. And in Hebrews 4:12, a very familiar scripture, the word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so God's word, like a sword that cuts and penetrates the heart. That's why, you know, every day when we read his word, you never get bored of reading God's word. You read a book, and Jan reads a book every week. She goes through a book every week, but after she's finished her book, she never goes back and reads it again. Right, Jan? But this is the book that we read every day. And it never gets, it's so supernatural, it's so alive, it penetrates our heart. That's why we need to be in God's word to show us how we can live a godly life. And we know that in Ephesians 6, Paul illustrates how we are like soldiers with spiritual armor. He said, "Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand firm against the schemes of the devil." I think there's one just before that. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood," I guess not. But against the rulers of powers and the principalities. And so we're truly involved in a spiritual battle today. And it's becoming, for those of us who are really spiritually in tune with the Spirit, we can recognize that we're involved in a spiritual battle. That's one way that we can understand why this world is going so crazy, is because we're involved in a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. An important part of our spiritual armor is the Word of God. So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray that I will make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Why is the gospel a mystery? Well, Paul talked about that in Ephesians 2, and we'll get into that when we talk about the power of the gospel. But the Word of God is like a sword of the Spirit. And we use the Word of God in spiritual warfare. When Satan was coming against Yeshua in the wilderness, Yeshua's way of defeating the enemy, or at least exposing the enemy, was by quoting the Word of God. It is written. It is written. He was the Word, but he is reminding the enemy, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And we know that, we're involved in all this spiritual battle in the world today, and people buy into all the lies and the deception. And that's why we need to be reminded that we are, Romans 12:1-2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If we want to know what God's will is for our life, we need to learn His Word. And to be conformed to what His Word tells us to do. And then in 1 John 2:15-16 is another scripture. It says, do not love the world or the things in it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away. But the man who does the will of God will abide forever. Amen. I'm sharing a lot of the Word because God's Word is so powerful, and much more powerful than anything I could ever say. And God's Word penetrates, and I hope that God's Word penetrates your hearts. And I know that every one of us, God's Word speaks to us differently. We all sit together, and God's Word speaks to us in a different way. So some words will resonate in your hearts. But we need to know the Bible inside and out. And how many of us know how many books are there in the Bible? How many? And how many in the Old Covenant? 39. And in the New? 27. And how many of us can quote, say the New Covenant in order? I mean, that's why I say that we need to know God's Word. We need to know how many books there are in the Bible. We need to know what God's Word says. We need to even know the order, in which the Bible was organized. There are many times when parents are faced with questions by their children. And many times parents don't know how to answer their children's questions, or go to the Bible to show them why it's wrong. Like something basically like, why is it wrong to look at pornography? And that's something that a lot of even believers are involved in. And we know that we need to realize that there's a lot of God's Word that tells us to not, lust after the things of the flesh. And what about the biblical view of abortion? And what's wrong with two men or two women having a relationship with each other if they love each other? That's how people in the world think. We need to know how to answer people when we are faced with these kinds of questions. We need to pray for our children because they are under major attack today. The enemy is trying to undermine this next generation that is emerging, and that we need to really pray for protection. That's why it's so good. Every week the children come and we put the tallit over them. We pray for them every week. But that's just part of it, that we as parents have a responsibility to pray and protect our children. you know, especially when many of them are going back into public schools. So I know there's lots of homeschooling going on, which is good. There's lots of who are going into public schools, and there's lots of crazy things happening in public schools. And we need to really know how to protect our children. But the third thing we need to do is to defend the Word of God. So in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the tearing down of strongholds. And we're tearing down false arguments and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we're to take every thought captive to his obedience." It's a battle of the mind. There are many times that thoughts come into our mind. We wonder, where did that thought come from? If it's a thought that's contrary to God's word, we know that the enemy puts thoughts in our minds. And that we need to wage war against our minds as well. Because we know that we're exposed every day to all kinds of things in the world. All kinds of fleshly indulgences. As we go in the superstores, we see all these magazines and everything all around us. And we look at our computers and things just pop up. And we don't, you know, we need to know how to deal with these kind of situations. Protect our minds. Because there's a lot of deception today. And we're living in a generation that is corrupt, that is buying into all the lies and the deception and the gods of this world. It said the God of this world, morals have changed, churches have changed, society has changed, people have changed, but God's word remains the same. Isn't that comforting to know? That God's word remains. Everything else is changing around us. Since the pandemic, the world has changed so much. But God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And that's really comforting to know that we have security and our relationship with God. And yet we know that in 2 Corinthians 4:4, I don't think I have this on the slide, but it says the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God. The enemy has done a masterful job of blinding the unbelieving in this world. And it's a tragedy that so many people today who are blinded to the truth, and that Satan is holding them in bondage. Yeshua said, if you believe in me and my words, if you believe in me and you hold to my teachings, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Unfortunately, most believers today are suffering from biblical illiteracy, truth decay. I know, I've shared that before. Now, many are weak in knowing how to defend their faith and how to answer questions that unbelievers ask. How many times have you heard people say, how do you know the Bible is reliable and you can trust in it? Isn't the Bible full of contradictions? Why does God allow suffering and evil? How can you say that Yeshua is the only way to God? Isn't that being somewhat arrogant? What about all the other religions? Are they all wrong? And what about those who have never heard of the gospel? What's going to happen to them? You know, I don't believe in heaven or hell. And how can you say that Yeshua is God? How can someone's death 2,000 years ago determine where I will spend eternity? If there's such a thing. How many times have we heard someone say, well, I tried to be a good person. God will let me into heaven. These are the many questions that we ask, and we need to be able to know God's word well enough so that we can instruct them and show them the way that will lead them to eternal life. Let me share some alarming statistics. They've been taken from some reliable research. I should have put this on the overhead, but it's really quite alarming, some of these statistics. It says 1/3 of Canadians ages 18 to 35, or 34%, believe that God does not exist, compared to 53% of Americans. North Americans doubt in God, and his existence had doubled in one generation. 25% of North American believers say it's not a big deal whether I grow spiritually or not. 56% of believers feel their spiritual life is entirely private and it's no one else's business. How many times have we heard people say, it's my business, I don't want to talk about God. And that, this is really an alarming one. A national survey lists what pastors say are in the top 10 ministries. Encouraging and mobilizing congregations to share their faith was not even listed in the top 10. That's hard to believe. When Americans pray, a typical prayer is from 15 seconds to less than 2 minutes in length. This is nationally speaking. I'm not speaking about us here. I'm sure that, you know, we're exempt from all these statistics, right? But are we? In 2021, one-third of North Americans, or 35%, said that there are more than two genders, male and female. There's more than two genders. This is up 8 points from the past year, and it's growing. More and more people are beginning to question our own gender and our identity. And they're teaching kids in the schools about this. 50% of believers say they are deeply committed to practicing their faith, but only 11% have a biblical worldview. And then finally, 85% of young people, ages 12 to 25, the younger generation, do not see their congregation as a place they can turn to in times of trouble. That's pretty alarming in the statistics that we are dealing with today. This is the sad condition of many believers. Do you think that the body of Messiah is ready for Yeshua's return? Are we fully equipped and ready for battle to face difficult times that are ahead? Because we know that there are difficult times that are coming. Are we prepared for the tremendous harvest that will be gathered in at the end of the age? I mean, for those, I don't want to step on any toes here, but for those who believe in the rapture, that Yeshua could come at any moment, considering the condition of the body of Messiah today, do you believe that the body of Messiah is ready today? That we are radiant bride without spot or blemish? See, without a working knowledge of the Word of God, believers are weak and powerless. I'm just about finished here. See, we need to have a commitment to pray. Not only read the Word of God, but to pray. Yeshua said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. See, a disciple who remains in the Messiah and understands his word knows what and how to pray. He knows what to ask and how to get what he's asking for because he knows his God. And God speaks to us through his word. That's why, you know, we speak to his word. He speaks to us when we're in the word and we pray. We pray back what he has shown us. In 1 John 3:22, he says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to him. So part of his obedience, a big part of his obedience to his commandments. And I want to just close with one last scripture from Matthew 7:24-29. We need to really strengthen the foundation of our faith. And Yeshua used this parable about the wise and foolish. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it did not fall because it was founded upon the rock. But then, the next one. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Yeshua had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And this next one's a picture about wise or foolish, which one are you? Building your house upon the stone or building your house upon the sand? That'll be the results of people not building their house on a firm foundation. Yeshua is our firm foundation. On his solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And then one last picture here. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. So we come to the end of this season. You know, the leaves will start to turn color. They'll begin to fall off, which we don't look forward to. But we know that God's word will stand forever. It never withers, it never fades away. God's word is here, and God's word is in us. And we need to begin to walk in and remain and abide in his presence. Amen. So, Father, thank you, God, for your word. Lord God, your word have I hidden in my heart that we might not sin against you. And Lord, we pray that that would be the desire of our hearts. And you begin to give us a fresh hunger for your word. Lord God, that we would begin to delight more and more in your presence and to spend more time in your presence, reading your word, that you would become more of a priority in our life. So, Lord God, that you said, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be given to us. So, God, help us to be obedient to your word. And, Father, to stand and defend your word against all the spiritual powers today that are trying to rob people of their identity, Lord, of their eternity. Because, Lord, there's a destiny waits for every person on this planet. And Lord, the choices that we make in this life will determine where we spend eternity. Lord, thank you, God, that we can trust, we can believe in you. And Lord, by believing in you, Lord, and trusting in you, Lord, that you will said by all these words, we will be your disciples. And Lord, the truth will always set us free. Lord, help us to walk in that freedom, we pray. And just thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, just really give us just cover us with your presence today, we pray. And that we would leave today, Lord, just really challenged and convicted. If we have not been spending time in your presence, Lord, convict us of that. And help us to have you more of a priority in our life. And we just thank you, Father, we praise you. In Yeshua's name, amen.